Welcome in to another edition of Locked On Titans. I'm Jimmy Morris, joined as always by Terry Lambert. Terry, how are you today?
Doing pretty good. What's going on, man?
Not a whole lot. We're going to talk a little bit about some available free agents that we think could help the Titans. We're also going to talk about some contracts that will be expiring at the end of 2019 season and talk about what the Titans should do with those guys, whether or not we think they should get a contract extension or wait and see how things play out. Or, you know, if it's a guy that probably is not going to be on this roster in 2020 anyway. So we're going to talk through some of those situations. Before we do that today, remind you that we write for MusicCityMiracles.com. We're covering the Titans for SB Nation, so you can check us out there. You can also follow us on Twitter. I'm at JMorrisMCM. Terry is at TLambertTN. You get the podcast wherever you get your podcast. Just search out Locked On Titans. You can also call in and leave us a voicemail. We got a couple of those, so we should be able to do a show tomorrow, but could still use a couple more. So if you want to call 615-787-8762, it was about a minute-long voicemail. We will get to those on the show tomorrow. And you can also play us on your smart speaker. Just say play podcast Locked On Titans, and you will get us there. All right, so yesterday, being Tuesday, the deal ended where if you signed an NFL free agent, it counted against your compensatory pick calculation for 2020. If you're not familiar with that, basically how it works out is they look at free agents you lost versus free agents you signed, and if you had a significant loss in talent there based on, you know, a myriad of factors, that's how teams get awarded compensatory picks in the next year's draft. I don't think the Titans are in line for any compensatory picks. They signed some pretty headline free agents and really only lost Quentin Spain. So not really something that was a factor for the Titans anyway, but it was definitely something that some teams were probably waiting for that clock to run out before they dip their toes back into this, you know, third or fourth wave of free agency wherever we are at this point. And so I was just kind of looking around yesterday, looking through some guys available that could help the Titans. You know, there's still some guys out there that can move the needle a little bit for this team. And you know, if we're going to have this conversation, I think you have to start with Ndamukong Suh. You know, from all reports, the Titans have not been interested in him yet this offseason. Don't know if they will be or not. Any of these lists that I've seen on the internet have been tied into the Colts. Makes sense because they have a need up front and they still have plenty of cap space to get it done. You know, he's still a guy that I think could come in and help the Titans if that was a road they wanted to go down. But I'm just not sure with everything else that plays in now, if that's something they're going to want to do. But if you're looking at these lists, you're looking at guys that are available, you kind of have to put him at the top of, yeah, if they signed him, he would come in and make a big difference right away.
Yeah, and look, he makes sense. You know, you got Jeffrey Simmons, you're going to have to wait on him. So you bring Sue in, that's a guy that can immediately make a difference up front. But the question is, what's he going to command? You know, is it going to be another one-year deal? What would he take? Would he come and play in Nashville? Or would he want to go to perhaps a bigger contender? I think it's going to be a marriage of both of those things, whichever contender is going to offer him the most money. So, I don't know. With Brent Urban here now, that's not a real sexy signing, but that's still a guy that can come in and start a few games for you, at least a Band-Aid until Simmons gets ready to go. I just don't see the Titans going down this road. If they're going to address it, I think they could sign a nose tackle, sort of like the Benny Logan signing from last year. You know, we've seen John Robinson sign a nose tackle pretty late in every free agency cycle. So I think they could sign a nose. I'd be pretty shocked at this point if they did bring in Sue. But, you know, again, it makes sense. It would be a really aggressive move. But I think he's pretty happy with what he's got, maybe outside of nose tackle.
Yeah, I mean, they don't have any really huge holes left at this point. And then again, when you get into these lists of guys that are available, it's not like there's a huge need. I mean, or a huge list of guys that are really going to come in and help. I think that there's a couple of defensive line guys. I mean, you got Muhammad Wilkerson out there. I think he's a guy that if they wanted to add another piece up front, you know, that could do some things. I mean, I think he would be interesting. But again, not sure how interested they are in that. Like you said, nose tackle does make the most sense. The other thing is there's a few edge guys. I mean, you got Ezekiel Ansah, who's still unsigned. I guess there's questions about his health. Derek Morgan pops up on these lists, too, as a guy that's still available. But, you know, the Titans, they have an interesting mix at edge right now. I mean, I think they have enough bodies. And you were saying, and I think you made a good point before we jumped on here, DeAndre Walker, his roster spot could be in jeopardy if you sign another edge guy at this point. And, again, we think we got something good in Harold Landry. You know, Cameron Wake's a good player, even though he's going to be, you know, limited on how many snaps he can play per game. Behind that, you've got just some guys that you think maybe can develop into something that have been okay. But I don't. At first, I was like, maybe they should add another guy there. But then, when you really think about it, adding just another mediocre guy to the list, I'm not sure that really helps your team.
Yeah, and that was kind of the argument that I was making on day three. Titans ended up taking Walker anyway, but I was just kind of saying, you kind of got what you got at this point. So unless I see a devastating injury and you lose a number there, maybe that's when you dip back in and sign a guy like Nick Perry. We had a question on Twitter about Nick Perry. Like you're saying, it's just another body that goes into this rotation. I'm not sure it makes the team better. I'm not sure it does anything outside of adding depth, which, you know, I think the Titans have a lot of. So another thing that people seem to forget is Rashawn Evans. I think he's got a lot of juice coming off the edge. I think he's going to be used a little more perhaps in that role. He might be the best athlete they have that can get after the passer. So interested to see if they use him a little bit differently. Now he's got a training camp to get settled in, to get more immersed in this defense. So I think they're going to be okay here. I think there's a lot of panic over what's on the roster. But, I mean, look, Cam Wake's still good. The age is just a number for him. He's still productive. He's been productive every year of his career. So I don't know. I'm weird, I guess. But I'm really not too worried about the Titans' pass rush unless something happens to Harold Landry.
Yeah, and, you know, if you sit and think about where they are this year versus last year, you know, now we probably were a little bit higher on Arakpo and Morgan going into last year than we should have been. Those guys were just – I think they're just at the end of their careers. So I don't think they're much worse off at this point than they were last year. And the defense was really good last year. I know we had problems with the pass rush and all that stuff, but statistically and everything else, I mean, that defense was pretty good. And you got a guy like Sharif Finch, who they obviously really like. You think he can make a jump from year one to year two. They brought in Kamalai Correa. I mean, so they got some pieces there that maybe can develop into something. So, yeah, I mean, I think they've done a good job throughout this offseason process, free agency, the draft of, you know, filling the holes they needed to fill. And then we'll just kind of see if some of these guys that we think, you know, have potential, see if they can take that next step forward as 2019 goes along. All right, coming up, we're going to talk about some contract situations. Before we do that, tell you about ZipRecruiter. Hiring used to be hard, multiple job sites, stacks of resumes, a confusing review process. But today, hiring can be easy, and you only have to go to one place to get it done, ZipRecruiter.com/lockedon. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards, but they don't stop there. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience and invite them to apply to your job. As applications come in, ZipRecruiter analyzes each one and spotlights the top candidates so you never miss a great match. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. And right now, our listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/lockedon. That's ZipRecruiter.com/LOCKEDON. ZipRecruiter.com/lockedon. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Okay, so the Titans didn't really have that many tough decisions as far as guys on their roster with expiring contracts after the 2018 season. That's not going to be the case after the 2019 season. They've got a lot of guys that range from obviously Marcus Mariota, and we're not really going to get into him today. We've had that discussion ad nauseum. We kind of know where we stand on that at this point. But even beyond him, you've got quite a few guys that are interesting that are going to hit the market. Let's start with, I guess, the best of the group, Kevin Byard. Kevin Byard is set to become a free agent after this season. He's only slated to make $884,000 this year. It was a third-round draft pick. Is in the last year of that deal. He's a guy that I think they get a contract extension with him done before this season starts. I wouldn't be surprised if it's something similar to what we saw with LaJuan last year. Right at the beginning of camp, you get a deal announced with him. We saw what the safety market was last year. Those numbers exploded. They're probably even going to go up if you wait all the way until free agency next year. He's a guy that has just really been, a cornerstone of what this defense has wanted to do. And so I think that it would be smart for them to go ahead and get him wrapped up long term. I think you can probably – I mean, you're not going to get a bargain. It's not like he's going to take a bargain deal at this point. But I think if you get it done now, you can pay him what the top safety's got this offseason instead of waiting until next year and probably having to pay a little bit more at that point.
Yeah, no questions asked. I mean, he's the best, probably the best player on this defense. You know, maybe him and Jarrell Casey can have a little bit of a debate there, but best young piece on this defense, without a doubt. The sooner, the better. I mean, he's going to get paid. I don't think we can count on any sort of discount. He's going to get paid. I'm not sure what it's going to be, but he's been just great since he's been here. Been a difference maker. Been a turnover machine. So the sooner they can get that one done, the better. It's a no-brainer.
Okay, so the next one is a little bit more complicated, I think. Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry's a guy that his contract is going to be up. If we get what we saw the last quarter of the season from Derrick Henry, I think there's no problem with paying him. You're not going to give him just ridiculous money, but we see what running backs are getting now. I think you could get him on a reasonable deal. The problem is you've really only seen, six games of that type of production. And so if I'm John Robinson, I don't think this is a deal that I want to do before the season starts this year. Now, if we get into the year and you feel like you're getting the same type of production from him, you feel like whatever this offense is going to be, if it's going to be new or kind of the same or whatever, if you feel like he's a good fit for what you're wanting to do and all that stuff, then I think maybe you entertain that at that point. But you don't have a lot, I guess, behind him if you don't sign him. I mean, you've got Deion Lewis, but, I mean, he showed last year he's not going to be good in the feature back role. They got our boy David Flewellen, who's, good on teams, but you definitely don't want him as your feature back either. So they got some questions there. You can find running backs. So I don't know. This one's a little bit more complicated. I mean, I think fans are going to want to sign him because, everybody's watched that 99-yard touchdown run a million times. But I think probably the smart way here is to kind of just let this season play out. Now, again, I think if, mid-year you're getting good production out of him, then you can kind of start to have those talks. But it's definitely not something that I would feel comfortable with going ahead and giving him a bunch of money right now.
Yeah, I mean, outside of the elite backs in the league, how many backs stick with the team that drafted them into the second contract? I don't know the answer to that, but it seems like it's not going to be a lot. So you're talking about Derrick Henry being 27 next year, and we've only seen 1 month of consistent running in his entire career. So I've got a lot that I need to see personally. He's got to string 16 games together. He's got to be the workhorse. He's got to prove to be a legitimate, consistent difference maker. If he strings together 3 months like he had the last month of last season, then he's going to get paid in a big way. But I've just got questions. We've only seen this in one little stretch of this career. So I'm weary about paying running backs, especially as they creep closer to 30. He's going to be 27. If he's going to get an extension from me, it probably wouldn't go past two or three seasons. But like you said, you can find running backs anywhere. Teams draft starters now in the third and fourth rounds, get legitimate difference makers. So Titans haven't seemed to – it hasn't been as easy for the Titans, I will say that. So Derrick Henry does seem to be the identity of this team right now. If he backs up what he did in the last month of the season, absolutely, go pay him. But I've got to see it first.
All right, I think we've got two more guys that are kind of, you know, in-depth conversations, and then we'll go a little bit quick hitter after that, because there are a few more guys on the list that I think, you know, are guys that are big pieces of this team, but I'm not sure that, you know, they're really cornerstones of the franchise. The next guy is Logan Ryan, you know, a guy that they put a premium on, obviously, when they signed him back in 2017 to that three-year, $30 million contract. He's been really good when he's been on the field. Now he got hurt at the end of the year last year. Obviously, you got to see where he comes back from that. But again, you're talking about a guy that's a little bit older, a corner, getting into that third contract. You know, he's going to make $9.5 million this year. He's a guy that you kind of go to now and say, you know, hey, what are we thinking about going forward? Can they do something with him like they did with Delanie Walker last year, where you go ahead and maybe, you know, tack two more years onto the deal, kind of rework it, and so it's a three-year deal, but it's basically just a two-year contract extension? I mean, something like that would seem to make sense for the team. Now, I'm not sure what he's thinking there, but, you know, he's a guy that has come in and been really good for them in a secondary that was pretty good last year, and they've got kind of everybody coming back in that group this year. So, I mean, he's a guy I think that's probably pretty important, but it's also you're getting into that age range where you don't really want to invest in him too long term, but I think he's still got enough in the tank that you'd want him around for a couple more years.
Yeah, and I think it comes down to where you play Amani Hooker, because we've heard nickel, we've heard safety. If he's your nickel back and he's good this season, then what do you do with him? So that's where it gets a little questionable for me. But I think he's been really steady, you know, not outstanding, definitely not terrible, just really steady. He's done a lot for this defense to kind of stop the bleeding and out of the days of just that horrible secondary in 2016 that we saw. So big difference maker since he's gotten here. I wouldn't mind seeing him extended another 2 years like you're talking about. I don't think you can have enough good corners these days. So if you hit on Hooker, it gets a little dicey there if he does play the nickelback spot. But again, I'm never going to complain about having a good 3, 4, 5 cornerbacks on this roster.
Yeah, and then the last guy, like I said, that I think warrants some pretty steady discussion, Dennis Kelly. He's in the last year of his deal. You know, Titans traded for him back in 2017, 2018. Brought him in for Dorial Green-Beckham. And a guy that's been really, really valuable for them, has played both tackle spots at times. And a guy that you just, you know, I think coaches, head coach, offensive coordinator, general manager, sleep better at night knowing you have a guy like him on the roster, because you know that if your left tackle, your right tackle, and maybe both your guards even get hurt, that guy can step in and play those spots. We saw with all the injuries that the Titans had in the offensive line last year how valuable that can be. I don't know. I don't. What's his value? What's his value on the open market? What does he think his value is? Where does he fall in line with, you know, obviously he's not going to get a Taylor Lewan type deal. But I think he can probably get a deal that's worth more than, you know, 2 years, $3 million was what his last contract was for. I think he can definitely get more than that. The other question you have is, how does he hold up if he's the guy, if he has to play week in and week out? We haven't really seen him do that here. I don't know that there's any reason to think that he couldn't. But these are all the types of questions that you have to ask if you're John Robinson and you're talking about how to approach this guy for a contract.
Yeah, and I think his value is directly tied to what Jack Conklin does this year. If Conklin comes in and he's great again, you know, there's a good chance Dennis Kelly might not see the field. So you have to think about that. But he's such a valuable piece. It's funny just looking back at the Dorial Green-Beckham trade and how we thought they were giving up on Dorial Green-Beckham too early. They get back Dennis Kelly. Oh, who's this guy? And he's been one of the most valuable pieces on the team. He's like that sixth man off the basketball bench, just can do a little bit of everything. You know, he's filled in quite nicely for Jack Conklin, played better than Conklin. I think we would both agree last year. So 30 years old, going to be 31 next year when it's time to sign him. I wouldn't mind seeing a 2 or 3 year deal to keep him around.
Yeah, we're talking about giving Dennis Kelly more money and Dordell Green Beckham's in jail.
Right.
So there you go. All right, so we will come back and finish up this episode with just a few more of these guys that are scheduled to be free agents in 2020. So, yeah, you mentioned Jack Conklin there, and I kind of completely forgot him. I mean, now he's scheduled to be a free agent in 2020. The Titans declined his option. Again, like you said, I mean, this is all about how well he plays, and that kind of, colors that whole discussion. And with both of those guys, how much do they play this year, how well do they play, all that kind of stuff. I think they're kind of tied together when you're talking about just the Titans' plans for what they're going to do going forward.
Yeah, it's 100% on Conklin now. I mean, it's an impossible question to answer right this second as things stand. Clearly took a step back last year. So he's got to prove, number one, that he can be healthy, that he can come back from that knee. Number two, that he can at least perform at a decently high level for him to even be warranted to get paid. But it's going to be really interesting. I think the Titans are okay in 2019 wherever it goes, but this offensive line really might be due for a makeover next offseason.
Yeah, all right. Then beyond that, you got Darren Bates, who, I mean, I think Darren Bates is a guy that could get cut this year. We talked about the pending, arrest that he has. So he's got some stuff going on there. And you got, again, special teams captain's obviously a guy they like. But I think if there's somebody that comes in and can outplay him and be a little bit cheaper, he's a guy that I wouldn't be surprised if they moved on from in camp. Again, just kind of a couple of those things considered.
Yeah, David Long, a pretty good athlete, really productive guy at West Virginia, could slide into that role. I don't know if he's ready for a special teams captain type role, but just as far as depth on the roster, I think you can slot in David Long at least equal with Bates. We'll see what they do on teams. That's something that we really can't break down. Coaching staff knows all about that. But, yeah, interesting on Bates. I think a guy like Long definitely gets his roster spot in 2020.
Bo Brinkley, I mean, whatever, right? he's been here for a long time.
Sign him.
This team has been committed to long snappers.
Yeah.
But I mean, whatever. You can find a long snapper or you can keep him around. I'm good either way.
You can take one in the fifth round like Bill Belichick.
There you go. Yeah. I mean, so maybe there's something to that. All right, Kamalai Correa, that's an interesting guy. Again, a guy that's going to be – he's going to play this year. He's probably, their third, fourth guy out there. You definitely would put him behind Harold Landry, put him behind Cameron Wake. They traded for him. I mean, you got Sharif Finch. How much you can play Rashawn Evans. I mean, all those things factored in. But a guy that could earn himself some money with this team based on how he plays this year.
And he's going to get reps. He's got an opportunity to be, the third rusher, maybe the might start. I don't know how they feel about Wake and where they're going to line him up and how many snaps they're going to give him. But Correa's going to play a lot. A guy that played some inside linebacker in Baltimore, primarily an outside guy here, versatile piece. They seem to like him a lot, and he came in. He was pretty productive for the Titans, so I don't see why not. You can't have too many of those pass rusher types, and this is a guy that might be able to slide inside if someone goes down. So a versatile piece that you probably won't have to break the bank for.
Austin Johnson, whatever, dude has
no,
not.
I'm out on Austin Johnson. That whole second round with Dodd and then Johnson and then Henry. I know Henry had a really good month to close the year, but that whole second down was such a letdown. It had a shot to really remake this roster. And Austin Johnson, it was a disappointment on draft night, and unfortunately it hadn't gotten much better.
Yeah, and again, the whole conversation we had at the beginning of the show about free agents, we're talking about defensive linemen, and if Austin Johnson was what he was supposed to be, we wouldn't probably be having to have that conversation. Ben Jones, a guy that I think struggled a lot last year. He's going to have two new guys next to him this year. We'll kind of see how he holds up. But, I mean, for him to be back on this team, for them to give him a new contract, I'm going to need to see a lot more from him this year than I've seen the last 2 years.
Yeah, and that's another one. We talked about the right tackle spot potentially getting overhauled. Center could get overhauled next year. Just seemed to take a step backwards last year, making what 4.3 this season. So it's going to have to show us something. But I'd be surprised if he's back in 2020.
Tajae Sharpe. Again, if he's number five, that's fine, whatever. But I would imagine, with bringing in AJ Brown, the guys working ahead of him. I mean, I think Tajae Sharpe this year needs to prove that he's more valuable than Taywan Taylor if he's going to get a new contract. I mean, I understand they're completely different guys, but if you're going to give Tajae Sharpe a new contract, he's got to be, definitively your fourth wide receiver. And I mean, whatever. I don't know if he's that. If you can get him back on, kind of a minimum deal, that whatever, it's fine.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. It's just kind of a take it or leave it situation. Hadn't done much since his rookie season. He's got to go beat a guy like Tajae Sharpe, not Tajae Sharpe, Taywan Taylor, for some reps. Be interested to see how AJ Brown comes along. If those two guys are even in the mix with AJ Brown. So I don't know if he's going to have the opportunities last year. It seems like his window is starting to close. Maybe he's got one more shot here in camp. We'll see.
Yeah, and then LaShawn Sims, a guy that's been good when they've asked him to play. I think he's got some value just as far as, being a depth piece. But again, when you're talking about, about Logan Ryan and all that kind of stuff, I mean, it's at least something they've got to entertain, but that wouldn't be something they would do until this time, or not this time next year, but until the offseason next year.
Yeah, LaShawn seems like a guy that would test the market. As kind of the fifth guy here, he might want an opportunity to play. Maybe he thinks more of himself than the Titans do. He's had some upside to him. He's probably better than the fifth corner in this league, so he might be able to find some opportunity on the open market.
And then I knew if I didn't write these names down, I was going to get somebody out of order. Wesley Woodyard, a guy that, is an interesting thing because he's gotten better the last 2 years. Now he's getting to the age where you have to wonder how much longer that can last. But, again, I wouldn't be opposed to them doing something like a Delanie Walker-type deal with him where you give him, maybe you tack 2 years onto this deal, make it to where maybe you can get out of it after 2020 or something like that. I think he's got some value. But then, again, you could feel like, hey, we've got Rashawn Evans, we've got Jayon Brown. We can find another guy in the draft, so we're going to be okay there. But, I mean, he's been a guy that really has, like I said, he's gotten better every year. And a guy that's been a really valuable piece of this defense. And as good as they were last year, they really struggled when he wasn't in there.
Yeah, we've seen linebackers be able to play. He's going to be 35, and that really hasn't seemed to slow him down yet. So still a really, really effective player. I think the Titans like those three inside linebackers they've got. It's a really nice group. They can do some different things there. I mentioned Rashawn Evans potentially playing some edge this year. Maybe they're not ready to get rid of a guy like this, a veteran on the team. But, again, I look at a guy like David Long as a guy with an opportunity to go take his spot. Maybe if he plays good this season, maybe the Titans feel okay letting Woodyard test the market. Again, it's going to be a wait-and-see type deal for me. Also to see if he loses a step because he will be 35 next year.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so that'll do it for our show today. Again, if you want to be a part of the voicemail show tomorrow, 615-787-8762. That's the number that you call and leave us a voicemail. Try to keep it to about a minute, and we'll be able to work you in on the show tomorrow. You can also follow us on Twitter. I'm at JMorrisMCM. Terry's at TLambertTN. If you have questions, you can hit us there too, and we'll be glad to address them. So thanks so much for listening to this edition of Locked On Titans, and we will talk to you again tomorrow.